John 17, we'll be considering the first verse of this chapter this morning, but for the sake of context and introduction to this prayer, we'll read the prayer in its entirety of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 17. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy filled within themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Since the reading of God's holy word, might he be pleased to write it on our hearts by his Spirit this morning. There's not many places in this world. There are several places, rather, in this world where we are not allowed to go freely. You can think of many places of business and research facilities that are behind tall walls and locked doors where only badges are allowed to pass. But we also think of the White House. How many of us would probably love to be able to be a fly on the wall at times in history, listening to what the President of the United States is saying to his chief of staff or to a world leader on the phone. But this morning we have the privilege, the great privilege, to come to a place that many have seen as holy ground and find there a place of comfort to listen to Jesus pray. Not so much that we might learn how to pray, although there's some lessons that will be learned along the way, I'm sure, but that we might hear him pray for himself and for his church. Moses drew aside to see the burning bush, and on that occasion the Lord said to him, "Do not draw near this place, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And many who have sought to preach on this text and expound this text, it seems almost universal if you pick up a book and read, that they find themselves on holy ground as they approach John 17, even as one put it, within the precincts of the temple itself, within the holies of holies. The reformer Melanchthon said that this prayer is nobler, holier than any prayer made on earth. And we are allowed to hear, or as some put it, we are allowed to intrude on this prayer and most intimate offering up of petition by the Son to the Father. Luther noted that this prayer may seem simple, but yet it's profound. There are depths that cannot be fathomed here, and there are expanses that we can't possibly grasp and reach in our own understanding. And so we should approach this prayer with gratitude and humility and dependence upon the one who has given us this prayer. But yet, just as God spoke and was heard by Moses at the burning bush, we can't overlook the fact that this prayer has been given for our hearing. It was audible and it was recorded for the sake of the church. Not only that we might see something of who the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and his work, but that we might see something of the love of Christ for his people and the comfort and the security that he hopes to pass on to his people and has for his people. In John 17, we're given a view into Christ's person. We're given a view into his work. But we're also afforded a great opportunity for security and assurance as his people. In fact, the very context of this prayer is one of passing along assurance and security to his disciples. And even though we're separated 2,000 years from that occasion, we still have the same needs perennially that the early disciples had, to know that Christ knows us and to know that he sees us, to know that he is praying for us and keeping us. And this is what this prayer that Jesus offers up to Christ gives us. In a real sense, this prayer of Christ is as reassuring as his promises. Here the divine Son of God is interceding on behalf of his church. What could be more comforting than that? In fact, Thomas Manton said this: Christ's prayer, here in John 17, is not like the prayers of other holy men recorded in Scripture for form and pattern, but as a fountain of comfort and blessing. That is, his prayer is not simply a model of prayer, though many things can be learned, but it is a supply of peace and comfort for the Lord's people as we study it and as we come to understand it. In fact, the Lutheran spiritual revivalist Philip Spener used this prayer along with John Knox in his dying hours to soothe their souls. Well, Scripture doesn't record many of Christ's prayers for us, but this has been recorded for our hearing. It was heard and it was set forth for us. And so we hope to take it up beginning with verse 1 this morning. Father, the hour has come. To see the occasion of Christ's intercessory work and the love of Christ that stands behind it. And we'd like to see this in three ways this morning: Jesus lifting up prayer, Jesus addressing the Father and Jesus acknowledging his hour. The first thing we consider this morning is Jesus lifting up prayer. Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. And here we move from seeing Jesus as our mediator, as a prophet, on behalf of God's people, imparting to them wisdom and instruction and knowledge, to Jesus as mediator and priest, offering up prayers for them in his high priestly work. First, we see, though, that Jesus finishes what he has been doing, and we see that from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words. And these words link us to the context of what has been taking place before, particularly in chapters 13 to 17, which is Christ, often known as Christ's farewell discourse. Chapter 13:1, in fact, sets the context and begins the farewell discourse with his disciples. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus' ongoing and unimpeded love for his people is the very context in which this prayer is set. And that love cannot be any more greatly expressed than in his offering up of his life, as we see in chapter 15, verse 3 of John. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The context is one of great love as Jesus prepared his disciples for his departure out of this world. As he passed along many words of comfort and assurance as he was now to separate himself, at least in his earthly presence, from them. In fact, he gives two great promises that appear in chapter 14 and chapter 16 that kind of bookend, as it were, this prayer, the preparation for this prayer. We see in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he also says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And so he opens up this discourse, the core of this discourse, with these comforting words that they should not be troubled. And then he closes that discourse with these words in chapter 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These two statements of peace, as it were, wrap themselves around that farewell discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they serve as the context now as he moves to prayer on behalf of his people. The need for assurance and comfort and knowledge that Christ is yet with his people and he sees his people and he is praying for his people is universal to his people. Jesus left to prepare a place not only for his early disciples.
This sermon was preached at Southside Reformed Presbyterian Church. If you would like more information about the church or to listen to more sermons preached here, visit our website at www.southsiderp.org. Thank you for listening.